What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. It is playoff time, and that means every night you're a sports fan, you get hockey games, you get basketball games, and these are very meaningful games. Now, as far as South Florida goes, we're only getting hockey games, and hopefully we'll continue to get these hockey games all the way until the end of June. Because if we don't, if the Panthers stop playing anytime soon, well, I mean, I could talk baseball here. It's not a problem. But if you look at the Marlins and the standings, that baseball talk isn't going to be so lovely. I know the Dolphins have a rookie mini camp coming up. We can always discuss football, but I like talking about games. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again now, and I'll say it tomorrow. I love games, games, games. And like I always tell you, I also love girls, 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 girls. So that's what I want. Games, 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 and girls, 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 girls. And then I'm happy. And winning wagers, of course. That's always very important. I've been doing these baseball wagers for my close friends on Instagram. Tennis has not been so great to me lately, but that's going to change. On my Instagram, very soon, I'm going to give everybody a tennis play because I really enjoy watching tennis. When I was in Spain, I went to the Madrid Open. It was awesome. I'm going to give all of you a tennis play this week. Sometime in the next, I believe, 24 to 48 hours. Could be very soon. Could be later tonight, tomorrow. If you don't follow me on Instagram, why not? I mean, where have you been? Just search Andy Slater. It's Andy underscore Slater. Because some dude in England has Andy Slater. And on his profile, he actually writes, "I'm not the sports guy or the host from Florida or the U.S. Something like that. Because every now and then I'll go to his page to see if it still exists so I can like grab it back if it doesn't. But he's still there. I think he posts like one picture every 8 months of his cat or something like that. I'm not sure. But if you search Andy Slater on Instagram, you'll see my face, the bald guy. And sometime in the next day or so, I will put up on my IG story a tennis play. You can play it if you wish. You could do whatever you want with it. But I'm gonna start hitting some more tennis plays. Baseball, I've been doing very, very well recently, and my close friends have been doing very well too. So I love baseball. I love all sports. I love games. Remember? Games, 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 and girls, 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 girls. You give me that in my life, along with poker and wagering, I am good. And an airplane, because I gotta travel. I gotta see people. I gotta go to some events. You only live once, so enjoy it. I hear too many people kvetching all the time, and I know some of you have significant others and you're not happy, but hey, you know, like that's your life. You do what you got to do. I do what I do. I fly places all the time. I'm on 100 flights a year. I enjoy it. I like going around the world. I like going to sporting events, not just watching everything on television. I like going to poker tournaments in different countries. I like seeing friends in different countries. Girls, 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 girls. And with technology, I can continue to keep up with everything going on. So no matter where I am, I can get you the
Slater's Scoop.
And I've done that in several countries, doing several different things where I've just had to say, stop. I got a
Slater's Scoop.
And I got to send out a tweet or get some more information. Thankfully, though, we have the Florida Panthers to keep us busy. I know they lost last night. I know we're kind of used to having the Miami Heat playing around this time, too. But the Miami Heat are toast. They had a down year. Jimmy Butler torpedoed the season. Everything went downhill, and the Miami Heat were embarrassed in the first round, and especially embarrassed at home. So until Pat Riley speaks, which will be soon, when Pat Riley speaks, then we'll dissect what he says, because every sentence Pat Riley has come out of his mouth, it means something. And I like the approach Pat Riley takes. It's an approach that not many of us can do. Usually you have an opinion, you have something to say, you want your thoughts to be heard. You have a feeling in your body and you need to let it out. Pat Riley, he has all that, but he doesn't let it out immediately. We've all made the mistake before. You get mad about something and then you just start blurting things out, and about 2 hours later you're like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. So Pat Riley just holds everything. I don't know how much it takes of him to hold that back, but he doesn't say anything, and he waits a couple of weeks, and then after a couple of weeks he's able to process everything, he's calmer, and then he gets in front of the media and starts saying what he needs to. You remember Tyreek Hill right after that Dolphins game where he quit. He's basically saying,
get me out of here!
And could it have been a heat of the moment thing? Yes. He walked back his comments like 3 or 4 weeks later on, or maybe even 8 weeks after that, whenever it was. I don't know if you should believe Tyreek or not, but sometimes people say things immediately out of frustration. Now, Tyreek quit, so that's a different story. He quit on his team in the middle of a game. And Tyreek loves to talk, so that might be an outer example, but still, it's always better to just keep everything inside your system and then just wait, because then your response is going to be most likely a lot better than some immediate response. That's how road rage is. Like immediately, boom, and then you start honking your horn and then someone pulls out a gun. Everything's so quick. Instead of just, all right, let me back up, get off this car's bumper, and everything's going to be okay. People can't do that. Pat Riley, he can. So he'll hold his end of the season news conference at some point. I don't want to hear an end of the season news conference from Paul Maurice or Bill Zito anytime soon. Again, not until the end of June, because I think the Stanley Cup final would end, I want to say, on the 23rd or 24th is the last possible day. So more than a month and a half away from that. We need the Florida Panthers to play until the end of June. Not the middle of June, but until the end of June. And look, right now the Panthers are consistently in the conversation. They're one of the best teams in the league. They went to the Stanley Cup final the past two seasons. Hopefully this will be their third Stanley Cup final in a row. Last year was amazing. The whole time following them, the parade, just everything. It was unreal. Considering they hadn't won a playoff series in so long prior to a few years ago. Oh my gosh. So it gives the Miami Dolphins some hope moving forward. All right, you haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. Winning a playoff game in football is the equivalent to winning a series in hockey or winning a series in basketball, because that's how you advance. And the Dolphins haven't advanced in the playoffs in 25 5 years. The Panthers went through very difficult times, although not that many people cared about hockey. Definitely nothing near the level of caring about the Miami Dolphins. I mean, Dolphins fans are going to be flying to Madrid to go watch their team play. No matter what their record is, they're going to be going to Spain because it's an opportunity to go see your team somewhere else. You take a yearly trip. Dolphins fans do that. This year, if you can afford it, you're going to go to Madrid. And I'll say it again. If you are taking that trip, do yourself a favor and also go to Barcelona. Go to Barcelona on that trip. Do not just go to Madrid. Trust me. If you're going to do a 10-day trip or a week-long trip, spend more days in Barcelona than in Madrid. Not that Madrid's bad. It's just that Barcelona is better. Okay, I got a lot of things in front of me. I always do. I got a water to my left. I got a Celsius to my left. I got peanuts right here. Although I found out months ago it's not a good idea to eat peanuts while you're doing a show. I got all my equipment here. I got screens in front of me. I got 4 papers in my hand. I got my phone here. I got a pen in my hand. I got an iPad to my left. I mean, I'm really describing the entire studio setup that's in front of me. I'm always looking to see what's going on while I'm talking too, because things could change, and that's something I love about hosting a show. Something changes and boom, I'm talking to you about it. But right now, nothing has changed since what I prepared for over breakfast this morning. Breakfast was really good. I only had 2 coffees this morning. Sometimes I have 3. This morning, I only had 2. And now I'm doing the strawberry guava Celsius because I've just been on a Celsius run over Monster lately. But that's not what I came here to tell you about. I got a lot of notes in front of me. And I can't get to them until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
If you're a Florida Panthers fan, right now I ask you a question. I want you to give me an answer. On a scale of 1 to 10, sometimes you hear that and you're like about to raid a restaurant or maybe something else. But here, on a scale of 1 to 10 for Panthers fans, 1 being totally chill, 10 being completely freaked out. Where are you right now with this Panthers team in this series against Toronto? We've seen 1 game. It was last night. The Panthers lose 5-4. My answer to that? I'm at a 2. 1 is totally chill. 10 is freak out. I'm at a 2. Yeah, they lost. The start was terrible. You can be concerned. But if you look at the series, not just the game, but the series, I think Toronto's in trouble. I think the Panthers have the upper hand. Now, of course, I got to bring something up that pertains to this series, and it's very important. You never want to see this happen, but Toronto's starting goaltender, he's going to be out for a bit. Anthony Stolarz. Stolarz, a former Florida Panther. He was Bob's backup. You heard already, I'm sure, left the game. Was throwing up on the bench, got taken to the hospital by ambulance because, of course, I mean, they're not going to drive him in somebody's car. They're going to take him by ambulance. He was on the stretcher and apparently a head injury, some type of a concussion to some degree, I would say. And that's going to be part of why Toronto may be in trouble here. I know that's not the nicest thing, oh, because a guy is injured, but look, if we're talking about a basketball series and one of your key guys is out, yeah, we're going to be talking about it. Now, Anthony Stolarz isn't some like, oh my gosh, you know, now they're totally done. Stolarz is good, but it's not like if he was playing, oh my gosh, the Panthers can't win. His backup, meh. So it is going to have some effect here on the series. But even with Stolarz in there, Toronto to me is in trouble because last night, from what I saw, what the Panthers were able to do after that start is what I think we're going to see from them for the rest of the series. Paul Maurice talked about it last night. Players spoke about it earlier today. The Panthers, they came out and I'm not going to say they weren't ready, but Toronto was just, they were jumping. The building was jumping. They were desperate to get that first goal, to get everybody revved up. And then before you know it, they make it 2-0. And that was something the Panthers couldn't come back from. I mean, they still made it a game, but they couldn't come back from it. Paul Maurice, he's always got the right attitude, even in a loss. And I think that's why, I think it's one of the reasons why the Panthers are able to play so carefree and just do their thing. Because Paul Maurice was asked about the slow start. What do you attribute that to? And he said, coaching. That was it, coaching. It was kind of funny. But more importantly, he's fallen on the sword for his team. Hey, we came out, performed badly. And it's my fault. That's better than ripping his players or overreacting to it. He was lighthearted about it. And at the same time, he was accountable for it. He's like, it's my fault. Blame me. I'll take the blame. Paul Maurice is a study in leadership. If you're a person who likes to learn about leaders and how to lead, how to be a leader of a lot of people, watch Paul Maurice. Listen to what he says and how he says it. Look at how he accepts blame and how he builds his guys up and how he keeps it light all at the same time. Everything he does is intentional and it's brilliant. I would argue it's little stuff like that by Paul Maurice, not overreacting to one game, which was really one bad period, that not puts the Panthers over the top, but gives them that championship pedigree that they've got. Look, it's the second round of the playoffs. It's not going to be easy. The first round wasn't supposed to be easy. The Panthers beat the Lightning in 5. We've been through this before. We've been through it 2 years in a row now. We know things get tougher. Everyone here in the second round has won a playoff series already. So you're good. It's a 7-game series. You don't want it to go 7. It may not go 7, but it is a 7-game series. Best of 7. And if you're the road team in a 7-game series, you want to get one of the first two. You want to go back home and it to be 1-1. If you want to get greedy, you get both. But Panthers don't have that luxury right now. Just get one. And if you don't get one, you just hold home ice. You win 2 at home. But you don't want to have that pressure on you. You got to win both. Even though you don't have to, because if you're down 3-1, you're still in it. But I can assure you the Panthers are going to come out tomorrow with more pep in their step, with more bounce. You're going to see the intensity that they brought in that third period. You're going to see it come out a lot sooner than the third. They were dead and lifeless. And then all of a sudden, okay, they're back in it. This team, they never die. And Toronto, they recognized that yesterday. Toronto's going to have to play a full game to stop the Florida Panthers. And the Panthers, they've got that experience. They know what it takes, and they know not to overreact to one game. Maybe the Leafs are going to overreact to one game. Say, hey, we got these guys. But then again, let's also remember that their starting goaltender is going to be out. And that will play some type of factor. Before I get into something that is a bit worrisome, and it's got nothing to do with the Florida Panthers, because, again, on a scale of 1 to 10 worry level, I'm a 2. I'm nowhere even close to being worried about this team, at least not right now. Get a win tomorrow night. But there's something else in South Florida sports that I am a bit worried about, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I want to quickly tell you, because I've got some long segments today, that my poker tournament, the Slater Scoops poker tournament, it is coming up a week from today, next Tuesday night. That's May 13th at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood in the poker room. Last month, we had $87,000 in the prize pool. It's only $250 to buy into my tournament. Next Tuesday night, the tournament begins at 6 p.m. You have until 9:30 p.m. to get there. So if you're stuck in some traffic, you get out of work late because you got a mean boss, as long as you're there by 9:30, you could still play. $250 to enter. A lot of money up for grabs. A minimum of $20,000. I hope to see you hang out, play some cards. Let me take your chips. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament next Tuesday night at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Uncle Luke Luther Campbell is going to be joining me in a moment, and we'll talk about the Miami Dolphins. But I got a minute here before Luke comes on, and I'm worried about Sandy Alcantara. I think it's time to at least have a quick convo about this, because he hasn't been good at all. I looked back yesterday at the clip of Peter Bendix sounding like Peter Bendix, so sure of himself, spring training time. Hey, I saw Sandy throwing off to the side 98 miles an hour. He looks great. Well, he doesn't look great. Of course, Shohei Ohtani did what he does at Lone Depot Park. He must love Lone Depot Park. Maybe he should play all of his games at Lone Depot Park, all of his home games at least. That would be nice, but that's not happening. He'll be back for the World Baseball Classic after this series where the Dodgers are in town. Sandy's trade value is certainly not going in the right direction whatsoever. What are the Marlins going to do with Sandy? They're going to keep putting him out there every 5 days when it's his turn to pitch, and I guess hope for the best. It's worrisome, though, because I think about it, and I'm like, wait a minute. It's never a good sign when your ERA is higher than the plane I took back from Spain, which was a 787. Here on this Tuesday, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell joins us on a Luke Tuesday on the Andy Slater Show. I was in Liberty City. I drove to Liberty City myself. I parked my car in Liberty City, and I went to go see the unveiling of Luther Campbell Way. Uncle Luke, how does it feel now to officially have a street, Luther Campbell Way? It's your name. It's in Liberty City. How does it feel?
It feels fantastic. And I mean, I'm humbled. I'm still lost for words. I forgot my entire speech. I don't know what I said the other day, but it's a beautiful thing. I'm just happy that I'm living. Because the night before, I made sure I stayed home because I said, when they normally give people street names, they're dead. You know, and the invitation was it looked like an obituary from the city. So, but I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I got a name of a street, and I did some things in the community that when people ride by, they can look it up and say, "Well, who in the hell is this guy? What? Why does he have a street named after him?" And people can, you know, look up some of the things that I've done, accomplished, and did for my community.
You know, if people walked up to the stage where they had these paintings of you and photos of you, and you weren't standing there, they probably would have thought that you were no longer alive. Wouldn't you agree with that setup? What, wasn't it cool to be there and see it all?
It was cool to be there, Andy. I kept pinching myself saying, hold on, man. You know, because when you're dead, you never know you're dead. You don't think you're dead. I guess I'd never been dead before. But to be able to see all that was a beautiful thing, man, to experience it, to get the love. I mean, you had Hall of Famers, Sapp, Ricky Jackson, Matt Moore. You had DJ Khaled. You know, you had people from, Andy Slater there, Marlins, man. I mean, it was the love and the appreciation was great, man.
Who were you more surprised about showing up, DJ Khaled or me?
I was more surprised about you being there. You know, I know you're a white boy from Kendall, and, you know, y'all snobbish, and y'all scared to come to the city. I was like, oh, my God. I made sure I put you right next to me.
Yes, that was
everybody's
very nice
still
of
trying
you.
Because I didn't want you to panic.
Yep.
I wanted to, you back there with the brothers and sisters. You probably would have had a heart attack thinking that they were going to take you away or something. So, everybody kept asking, well, who was the bald head guy next to you in the picture? I'm like, that's my good friend, Andy Slater. He was sitting there for more reasons than one.
You just wanted a white guy next to you to make it look better, didn't you?
No, not really. I had DJ Khaled next to me.
That was an incredible first row. I mean, I felt like, there I am. I'm sitting next to you, the man of the hour, the man of the year, the man of the century, especially in Liberty City. And then you got your son, Blake, and then DJ Khaled. I mean, what a lineup, the four of us right there. So thank you for that.
Hey, man, I'm going to put you on the front row, Andy. I'm not like you. When it's time for me to deliver, I deliver. I'm not like you. I haven't beaten the drum at the Panthers game yet. I threw out the first pitch at the Marlins, and that was something somebody else hooked up. You didn't deliver that neither. So I deliver.
So
I'm not like you.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Luther Campbell Way is a two-way street? It's not a one-way street?
Hey, man, just think about it, Andy. That is the perfect name, the Luther Campbell Way. You could do it the Luther Campbell Way. In more ways than one. In more ways than one. I mean, you can party like a rock star. You can just do what you want to do when you want to do it. You can live life to the fullest. You can fight for free speech. You can go out on stage and just get butt naked. You can go coach kids. You can just, that's the Luther Campbell Way. Come on, Andy.
Well, if you want to go check out Luther Campbell Way, it's in Liberty City. I was there. If I could go there, you can go there. Anybody can go there.
Liberty City is a safe place. It's a beautiful, especially on my street. You get off 95, ride down 10th Avenue. Ride down 11th Avenue, I'm sorry. Go down 62nd. Don't be scared. And just, enjoy yourself. I mean, go down there, take some pictures, be a part of history.
So what was it like, Luke? You go from the unveiling of Luther Campbell Way to, I think, a couple hours later, you were at Hard Rock Stadium for F1. Did you go there Saturday and Sunday?
I went there Saturday and Sunday, correct. I mean, I went... Took my son there, when I'm in town last year, I went in town, I had to go do a concert, so I missed it this year. He wanted to go, so we went there, and then Sunday, I ended up back over there again, took my good friend Stan the Man. Everybody was in there on Sunday.
Now, hold on a second.
You name it.
I saw a picture, okay? I remember a picture you took at Joe Stone Crab about 10 years ago. I was with you, Jeffrey Loria, then owner of the Marlins. I just saw a picture of you the other day, Luke, with Stephen Ross. So how did that picture come about, and what did you talk to Stephen Ross about there?
Hold on. Now you actually, I can't tell you what me and Ross talked about.
Well, yes, you can.
But I can tell you how the picture came about.
Okay.
We were there. You know, we was in the big suite with all the big time celebrities, you name it. Everybody in there, all the Patrick Mahomes and you, all the big billionaire boys. And so there was a concert after the ceremony. I had Sexy Red down there, and some of the people had left. The crowd was still out there. And my friend, who owns the record label with Sexy Red on there, him and Ross has the same lawyer, so he never met Ross. I introduced him to him. And, you know, we start chopping it up. We talked about, you know, me and him going to the same high school, Miami Beach. And we had a few laughs. You know, Garfinkel and all of them was sitting there chilling. You know, they got a kick out of me and Ross talking to the brothers. But one thing I could tell you, Sandy, about the conversation is this. Ross, 80 years old, and me and my friend came out of it. Ross is very sharp. Ross is sharp as 80-year-old. I know this man is really, really sharp. He's coherent. You know, it ain't like Ross 80 and he don't know what's going on. You know how you get a lot of 80-year-olds? No, that man's sharp.
Ross sharp.
Did you bring up your thoughts on Tua to Stephen Ross?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I can tell you one thing. You know, a couple of people who work for the Dolphins had got a chuckle out of my comments on here that you got me kicked out the big suite and into the outhouse. I know they listen to your show. I can tell you that the people in the upper echelon. You know, and I was like, yeah, Andy got me kicked out of the big suite.
I got you kicked games. Out. You got yourself kicked out.
Yeah. Them people really had a problem with that. So I got to, you know what I'm saying? I keep it a buck. You know, I've been kicked out of better places.
Oh, wait a minute now. So is that the reason, again, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell with us on a Luke Tuesday. He's got his own street in Liberty City, Luther Campbell Way. Luke, is that the reason you went on Twitter a couple days ago and said it's official, you're no longer a Dallas Cowboy, and you're in with the Dolphins? Was that to get back into the big suite?
No. I can buy my own suite, and I can do that. But I just think, you know, it's time for me to move on. You know, you buy low. In the stock market, you buy low. The Dolphins are at an all-time low right now. They don't even know whether they're going to have the coach next year, the players next year. You know, the GM, they got a whole lot of things they got to work out. So instead of jumping on a bandwagon when they're doing good, I'm going over there now. You know, Ross, you know, me and Ross had a good conversation. I can leave it at that. And I need to go on home, pledge my allegiance to the home team, the Miami Dolphins. Roston did so many great things, him and Garfinkel, for the community, and they continuously do things for the community. You know, my programs and everybody else's programs. You know, I need to pledge my allegiance to them. It's like, come on, man.
But, Luke, what?
You know, enough is enough. The Dallas Cowboys, hey, man, Jerry Jones is really not my type of owner. You know, I was a Cowboy with Tex Stram and Tom Landry and all of them, they were on something different. I mean, I became a Cowboy because they drafted Bob Hayes out of Florida A&M. You know, they have principles. Now, the Cowboys are almost like Aryan Nation. You know, I can't be a part of that.
But, Luke, all these good things about Stephen Ross, and I've said them myself as well, F1, the tennis tournament, the World Cup, Super Bowls, national championship game, so many things at Hard Rock Stadium. Why is it that the Dolphins can't be successful, but everything else that goes in that stadium pretty much is?
Hey, and then you didn't mention all the things this man do outside of the community.
Right.
Within the community. You know what I'm saying? All right. That is beautiful, but I appreciate more of the things that they do in the community. You know what I'm saying? They created a venue he's created a venue where it just ain't a stadium sitting there collecting dust. You got concerts, you got all kind of stuff going on up in there. And they play a role in making sure that happens for people of South Florida to get right off of a turnpipe and go and enjoy something special. You know, the Dolphins is a whole nother movie. You know, that's a whole nother movie that they straighten out. You know, if they hire me, I can straighten them out. I can straighten that out in a heartbeat. If I was in the room with them, I've been the first person to tell them to draft Shedeur Sanders. Why? Because Tua throws three interceptions and fall into the lap of the guy who died from Buffalo, and he's out. The ticket prices go down. They have to call people and give the tickets away to fill up the stadium. If that happens, if Tua gets hurt with Shedeur as the quarterback, the ticket prices actually end up going up. They don't lose value. And people get excited because they really want to see what Shedeur do. And he would have been the perfect pick for them because of all the Hollywood things that the Dolphins do. The Dolphins is a Hollywood program, unlike LA, unlike any other NFL team. They're similar to what Deion does. They bring Hollywood people. They made D-Wade a co-owner. They made the Serena and Venus co-owners. That's what they made. All these, you know, they want that Hollywood.
Yeah, but none of that has Hollywood brought on energy. None of that Hollywood's brought on winning. I mean, isn't that?
But that's it. That I understand that. So sometimes you gotta reassess what you're doing and how you're doing it. You know, everybody ain't no winner all the time. Andy, you gotta always keep looking at what you're doing. And, you know, these guys are successful at what they do business-wise. I understand your frustration and everybody else. But at the end of the day, sometimes you gotta go out on the line and probably hire a guy like Luther Campbell to bring him up in there and say, hey, look, man, you look at these players before we draft them. You talk to them. You have a conversation. See if they really bought that life.
Well, what if Stephen Ross brought you into a room, said, Luke, I want to meet with you? Of course, you're going to go see him. You sit down with Stephen Ross, Uncle Luke, and he says, Luke, if I hired you, who's the first person you would fire? What do you tell him?
Don't do that, Andy.
No, but I'm not saying you got to name a name. I'm just saying if he asked you that, what would your response be? I mean, would you dance around it?
My response would be, give me a couple of weeks. Let me evaluate the individuals in here.
Okay.
Because on the outside looking in, Andy, things look glossy. Everybody wants to fire the GM. But you don't know if the GM is handcuffed. You don't know if the head coach is handcuffed. You don't know who's making these calls up in there. So I would need at least a couple of weeks to go and evaluate, assess the issues of that whole organization to be able to answer that question within the organization, be able to answer that question as to why this team is not winning and where's the dysfunction. So I would have to be like a comptroller coming in and taking over a company that's in bankruptcy. I need to find out what the hell is going on up in here. And I couldn't answer that right then. I couldn't say fire this dude or fire that dude up. That's bad business.
That's very fair. And all I'm doing, Luke, is prepping you for your interview. So now you'll be ready. I mean, Stephen Ross calls you and you're going to be ready for that answer.
Hey, Ross called me up in there. Hey, look, I'm going to evaluate everybody. I'm going to everybody's office. I'm going to have a conversation with them. And I'm going to say, hey, look, you need to be real with me because your job on the line. If you don't tell me what's holding you up and one of the things that you're trying to do, then I'm gonna recommend that you get fired.
And then you got to tell them that Slater gets all the scoops from now on, not Darlington.
And Slater gets all the scoops. Right. So a guy come in the office, say for instance, a guy come in the office and you know, I don't really want to say nothing. No, what is your vision? What do you want to do? What are some of the things that, now I ain't talking about the past. Who's handcuffing you from what you're trying to do? Well, it's a dude around the corner that talks to another dude around the corner, and they go get into their little huts, and then they come back and they put pressure on. Hey, okay, well, you stand on the table. You know, that's it, football is about standing on the table for what you like and what you love. The same thing. I mean, we got two dysfunctional situations going on. Ain't the only one. You got the Miami Hurricanes. Shoot, they bringing in people like this, air traffic controller. I don't know who's picking the players over there. You know, it's a. Yeah, I mean, they bring in players without a coach.
Luke, we'll talk about that next week on another edition of a Luke Tuesday. You got your own show, the Luke Show, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace. It's everywhere. And most importantly, you got your own way. Luther Campbell Way.
Do it the Luther Campbell way, Andy. You can't go wrong.
That's right.
Ross, do it the Luther Campbell way. You can't go wrong.
And thank Mario, you. Thank you for having me there. Can't and go wrong. Congratulations again, my friend.
Appreciate you coming, man.
Well deserved. Hey,
I appreciate you coming. I'm sad that you didn't bring your mama. To come see DJ Khaled.
She was so,
I mean,
she was
how,
so mad at me.
Her.
She was so mad
that's
at me.
That's how you do her. You do her real bad.
She was so, you know, mad at me.
Mother's Day, mothers, all y'all need to get good gifts and not just sex.
I gotta set up a date with you and Khaled somewhere and so she could meet him. She was so mad at me.
Yeah, you did that. I told you the man was coming.
No, you didn't. I asked you.
Her.
No.
And you still didn't bring
no,
her.
No, you did not.
Show.
Yes, you did not tell me he was coming because she does listen to the show, and now she'll want to kill me.
Well, you need to kill him because that's what I told him.
No, that's not.
He asked me, and I told him, "Yeah, Marlon Man showed up.
No.
Everybody was there except your mom.
No. See you later, my friend.
You did it wrong. Yes, sir.
Luther Campbell. No, I did ask him. I said, "Hey, is DJ Khaled coming? Because I know my mom wants to meet DJ Khaled. She's a huge fan. She follows his kids and everything. I mean, I guess he entertains her. And I asked Uncle Luke, I said, is DJ Khaled going to be there? And he said, I don't know. And I looked at DJ Khaled's Instagram, and it looked like he was flying somewhere. He wasn't in Miami. I'm like, he is a busy dude. And then I go there. My mom asked me, hey, can I come? And I'm like, I'm going to go. Like, don't worry about it. And I'm there, and DJ Khaled comes out of the car, and I was like, oh, my gosh, my mom's going to kill me. So I got to set it up. She's met Post Malone. She loves all of these singers, artists, whatever you want to call them. To me, I mean, DJ Khaled's cool, but I don't go crazy. She does. All right, that's all the time I got for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.